The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
And welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Guardian Radio today. Cameron, I was waiting for them to talk with the people who sponsoring the show. Sorry about that. You want to run that now? Run it, man. Run it.
Guardian Radio today is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, the Commonwealth Bank, Epic Battery, Janae's Uniform Center, Marco's Pizza, Prince Masters, and Ron's Electric Motors.
Yes, indeed. Guardian Radio today. Listen, y'all don't get me in Kermit business, y'all. Just go way back. You know what I mean? Got to pay the bills. We appreciate our sponsors. Want to make sure we get that in. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Anku Sarah. We are happy to be here with you on another Hump Day Wednesday. And it is the 20th of August. And we are grateful that the Hurricane Aaron seems to be... Aaron didn't get no visa to come to the Bahamas. So we happy for that. You know what I mean? But we definitely keeping our eyes on anything else out there developing. And we pray that we have an uneventful hurricane season. Today we have a special show, as always, planned for you. We have a special guest. Don't always have a guest, but today we do have a guest. And any guest on Guardian Radio today is a special guest. He's not on right now, but we're going to bring him on around 12:30. Stephen Golding, the president of the UNIA. Out of Jamaica, he'll be here. We're going to be talking, we are talking Marcus Garvey, as August 17th landed on a Sunday, which is Marcus Garvey's birthday. And then the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, and I know amongst the Rastafarians and other Pan-Africanists, and just people in general who care about the works of Marcus Garvey, they would have celebrated Marcus Garvey Day on August 17th. And so I just thought it was appropriate to invoke the memory of Garvey, along with some other great Bahamians and people in general, right? I want to start off, before we get to our guest today, in a book that I pray all Bahamians have an opportunity to read at some point in their life, right? This is a book that I came across a few years ago. But it's a book that I think is very important in Bahamiana, right? The Faith That Moved the Mountain, A Memoir of a Life and the Times by Sir Randall Fox. It's very rich in history. It's very rich in, understanding, who we are as a people and ultimately who Sir Randall Fox ultimately was. But in particular, when I was reading the book, I had always heard about Marcus Garvey coming to the Bahamas. It was almost, just kind of like a wives' tale. But when I was reading this book and I saw where it was mentioned, I was excited, right? And so I want to read an excerpt from this book, and then I'm going to jump into some of Marcus Garvey's writings, and then I want to look at our guest for today, all right? But in this book, The Faith That Moved the Mountain, on page 24, for those of you who may have it, all right, it's talking about Leon Walton Young, L.W. Young. So that school over there on Bernard Road was named after L.W. Young, and he was an important leader in this country, all right? He was a cousin of the author of this book, Mr. Fox, and I'm just trying to see exactly where I'm going to start from in the reading. But on page, I'll start at page 22. Finally, Dad and Cousin Leon agreed to send a letter to protest Woods. Who would write it? Who would tell the chosen one that he was wrong? Dad's literary knowledge extended only to the political backchat of the evening's newspaper, the Nassau Daily Tribune. Leon Walter Young, however, was a seasoned politician. Although only a carpenter, he was reputed to have read the whole of the Bible and all 12 volumes of The American Educator. In November of 1928, when Marcus Garvey was denied entrance into the Bahamas by the white minority government, it was Cousin Leon who successfully intervened on his behalf and assisted him in launching his Back to Africa movement at a mass rally on the Southern Recreation Grounds. That was exciting for me to read. I'd heard about it, but I didn't know where it was written. And so to read it here in this book, I said, wow, right? That is actually where they launched the historic new history book that should be in the hands of our students very soon. It's across from St. Agnes Church. It's actually across from where my grandparents used to live, a building now owned by... but Marcus Garvey was a brilliant, a necessary, a strong figure amongst we as Caribbeans, as Africans, and I say it, I'm being very cautious as to how I use my words, because Marcus Garvey was not just a name you mention, right? Marcus Garvey is somebody who really put a spirit within us as a people. You know, he affected so many of the great leaders that we ultimately respected after him, like Elijah Muhammad and MLK, and even some of our leaders, Pinlin, and of course, Sir Randall Fox. I know I was talking to my good cousin Aaron, and we were talking about Mr. Toot, and there's a history here that we're not talking about that we're going to get into eventually, right? But I want to start off this show by reading something by Marcus Garvey, African Fundamentalism by Marcus Garvey, A Racial Hierarchy, An Empire for Negroes. Negroes' faith must be confidence in self. His creed, one God, one name, one destiny. These are the words of Marcus Garvey. And then we'll run to our guest. The time has come for the Negro worship and adoration of other races, and to start out immediately to create and emulate heroes of his own. We must canonize our own saints, create our own martyrs, and elevate to positions of fame and honor black men and women who have made their distinct contributions to our racial history. Sojourner Truth is worthy of the place of sainthood alongside of Joan of Arc. Crispus Attucks and George William Gordon are entitled to the halo of martyrdom with no less glory than that of the martyrs of any other race. Toussaint Louverture's brilliancy as a soldier and statesman outshone that of Cromwell, Napoleon, and Washington. Hence, he is entitled to the highest place as a hero among men. Africa has produced countless numbers of men and women in war and in peace, whose luster and bravery outshine that of any other people. Then why not see good and perfection in ourselves? We must inspire a literature and promulgate a doctrine of our own without any apologies to the powers that be. The right is ours and God's. Let contrary sentiment and cross opinions go to the winds. Opposition to race independence is the weapon of the enemy to defeat the hopes of an unfortunate people. We are entitled to our own opinions and not obligated to or bound by the opinions of others. If others laugh at you, return the laughter, return the compliment with equal force. They have no more right to dishonor, disrespect, and disregard your feeling and manhood than you have in dealing with them. Honor them when they honor you. Disrespect and disregard them when they vilely treat you. Their arrogance is but skin deep and an assumption that has no foundation in morals or in law. They have sprung from the same family tree of obscurity as we have. Their history is as rude in its primitiveness as ours. Their ancestors ran wild and naked, lived in caves and in branches of trees like monkeys. As ours, they made human sacrifices, ate the flesh of their own dead and the raw meat of the wild beasts for centuries, even as they accuse us of doing. Their cannibalism was more prolonged than ours. When we were embracing the arts and sciences on the banks of the Nile, their ancestors were still drinking human blood and eating out of the skulls of their conquered dead. When our civilization had reached the noonday of progress, they were still running naked and sleeping in holes and caves with rats, bats, and other insects and animals. After we had already fathomed the mystery of the stars and reduced the heavenly constellations to minute and regular calculus, they were still backwoodsmen, living in ignorance and blatant darkness. The world today is indebted to us for the benefits of civilization. They stole our arts and sciences from Africa. Then why should we be ashamed of ourselves? Their modern improvements are but duplicates of a grandiose civilization that we reflected thousands of years ago, without the advantage of what is buried and still hidden, to be resurrected and reintroduced by the intelligence of our generation and our posterity. Why should we be discouraged because somebody laughs at us today? Who can tell what tomorrow will bring forth? Did they not laugh at Moses, Christ, and Muhammad? Was there not a Carthage, Greece, and Rome? We see and have changes every day. So pray, work, be steadfast, and be not dismayed. As the Jew is held together by his religion, the white races by the assumption and the unwritten law of superiority, and the Mongolian by the precious tie of blood, so likewise the Negro must be united in one grand racial hierarchy. Our union must know no clime, boundary, or nationality. Like the great Church of Rome, Negroes the world over must practice one faith, that of confidence in themselves, with one God, one aim, one destiny. Let no religious scruples, no political machination divide us, but let us hold together under all climes and in every country, making among ourselves a racial empire upon which the sun shall never set. Let no voice but your own speak to you from the depths. Let no influence but your own rouse you in time of peace and time of war, which concerns you. Your allegiance shall be to your God, then to your family, race, and country. Remember always that the Jew in his political and economic urge is always first a Jew. The white man is first a white man under all circumstances, and you can do no less than being first and always a Negro, and then all else will take care of itself. Let no one inoculate you with evil doctrines to suit their own conveniences. There is no humanity before that which starts with yourself. Charity begins at home. First to thyself be true, and thou canst not then be false to any man. God and nature first made us what we are. And then out of our own created genius, we make ourselves what we want to be. Follow always the great law. Let the sky and God be our limit and eternity our measurement. There is no height to which we cannot climb by using the active intelligence of our own minds. Mind creates, and as much as we desire in nature, we can have through the creation of our own minds. Being at present the scientifically weaker race, you shall treat others only as they treat you. But in your homes and everywhere possible, you must teach the higher development of science to your children and be sure to develop a race of scientists par excellence. For in science and religion lies our only hope to withstand the evil designs of modern materialism. We live, work, and pray for the establishing of a great and binding racial hierarchy, the founding of a racial empire whose only natural, spiritual, and political limits shall be God and Africa at home and abroad. This was presented in New York at the Negro World, June 6, 1925, a front page editorial. Marcus Mosiah Garvey. I wanted to start the show with the words of Marcus Garvey because ultimately, I don't think we talk about it enough. We definitely don't learn it in school in any meaningful way. And I think we can learn from this great ancestor. I wanted you to also be exposed to another piece of writing, The Journey Home, The Marcus Project, written by Rev. Dr. A.J. Varma. And in this book, before we get to our guests, it talks about Marcus Garvey and others who would have sacrificed, who would have taken the time to ultimately do what is necessary to bring our people to a place where they have the courage to do for themselves as others have done for themselves. So a question in this parchment is, when did Marcus Garvey begin his plans for blacks worldwide? His, Marcus Garvey's, plans for Nubians, blacks, began in 1916 when he stormed into the United States of America with a head full of ideas and plans. He chose to come to America because the people of his native country, Jamaica, were not ready for the mission he was to release. They were still discriminating amongst themselves, fighting to fit in and emulate the British caste system they were residing in. Sound familiar? I think it sounds very familiar. So, with this in mind, he set his sights on America to launch the base of his international movement in uniting Nubian blacks, Afro-Latinos, no matter what nationality they claimed. Marcus Garvey was a traveling man, and in his travels throughout Europe, Costa Rica, Panama, the West Indies, and the United States, he realized the Caucasian did not have any regard or respect for Nubian blacks anywhere. He witnessed the mistreatment, exploitation, discrimination, and disrespect of his people. Marcus understood that the Caucasian would never respect blacks until they had their own. A quote from Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey said, "If you want liberty, you yourselves must strike the first blow. If you must be free, you must become so through your own effort. If you must be free, you must become so through your own effort, though through your own initiative. Those who have discouraged you in the past are those who have enslaved you for centuries, and it is not expected that they will admit that you have a right to strike out at this late hour for freedom, liberty, and democracy." The book further goes on to say, in order to refute or to combat total dependency, because this is what we are faced with in this country today, we're dependent on a service economy that's not serving us. In order to refute or combat total dependency of the pale race, Marcus Garvey set up the United Negro Improvement Association, the UNIA. The organization was to unify all Nubian Melanonites everywhere by creating a central nation for the race as a whole, assisting the needy, promoting the spirit of love and pride of self, and creating schools to educate and provide people with the opportunity to learn basic skills. Marcus Garvey also said, and I quote, "Every man has a right to his own opinion. Every race has a right to his own action. Therefore, let no man persuade you against your will. Let no other race influence you against your own." The words of Marcus Garvey. Today we'll have, I want to run to a break, Kermit, and then we can check to see if our guest is in place. But we are going to have a special guest today, our brother, all the way from Jamaica, Stephen Golden. And he's been on the show before. Well, he was on Guardian AM with C.A. Nuri. This will be his first time on Guardian Radio today. But today we're going to be talking about Garveyism and the 138th anniversary of the birth of Marcus Mosiah Garvey. I think it's something that we as a nation need to pay attention to. And when we come back after this break, we'll look to see if our guest is in place. Let's run to a break.
Fit the best for all your printing needs. There ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece. keys to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Experience Marco's Pizza, incredible deals paired with unmatched taste and quality. Order now to take advantage of these limited time offers. This summer, indulge with Marco's. Get two large one-topping pizzas with and choose between a cheesy bread or center squares for just $27.50. Upgrade to chocolate center squares for only $1 more. Or enjoy a large pizza with cheesy bread with a 2-liter soda for $22.50. Don't miss out. Act fast. Order now for carryout or delivery at marcospizzabahamas.com.
New school year, new gear. From uniforms to laptops, a Fidelity personal loan can help you check every item off of your kids' school list. Jump into back-to-school season with ease. Apply for a Fidelity personal loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio today with your host, Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Ankusara. We're talking Marcus Garvey. We're talking the 138th anniversary of the birth of Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Our special guest today, the president of the UNIA in Jamaica. And correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's only in Jamaica, but you can correct me. Our good brother, Stephen Golding. How you doing today, my brother?
How are you, Doc? Good afternoon to you. Good afternoon to your listeners.
Yes.
President of the UNIA in Jamaica. Of course, the UNIA is a global organization mm-hmm. with divisions and chapters spread out through a number of countries.
Yes. We're very, very excited to have you. I know we only have you for about an hour today, but I'm happy you took the time to be with us. I don't think we have these type of conversations enough. And of course, anytime I have an opportunity to have you on or to Kaskavi, you know, I'm always willing to do so. I want to just first give our listening audience, especially those who may have never heard about Stephen Golding, an opportunity to learn about why you're doing what you're doing. Why have you become the president of the UNIA, and how has Garveyism affected you personally and professionally?
Like you said, we only have an hour, and that is a very long
story. Give me the truncated version.
But I've been a member of the UNIA since 1999. I joined the UNIA while I was living in New York. It was then under the leadership of Marcus Garvey Jr., mm-hmm. the son of our first national hero here in Jamaica, his eldest son, mm-hmm. Who, you know, passed away maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. But after coming back home in about 2004, activated my membership with the division here in Kingston, which is a very historic division, being the first division Garvey founded in 1914 before he left for America 2 years later in 1916. So, you know, we consider this the Alpha Division, One.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with them for a number of years. I became vice president in 2007. And then I was elected to the post of president in 2009. And I've held that position consecutively for the last 15 years now.
Wow.
You know, we have in Jamaica really focused on rebuilding the organization. I mean, I found the UNIA in New York, I found it here in Jamaica. It was filled with a number of elders, not a lot of young people coming into the organization at that time. So my focus coming in, of course, then I was a much younger man, but, you know, we started to focus on developing youth programs. We expanded the organization by going into the colleges and the universities. We went into the prisons. We went into the at-risk communities with educational programs and so forth. And that's how we've been able to expand and develop it over the last decade and a half, and now we have chapters in almost every speaker. We started with the teachers' colleges because there was a strong urge coming from the society about teaching the principles of Garvey in the schools. Mm-hmm. And that's something, you know, we have been saying for a long time. The politicians have been playing, you know, mouth football with it. but one of the things we questioned when we started the first chapter at the oldest teacher training institution in Jamaica, the Michael University College, the oldest teacher training institution in the Western Hemisphere, actually. The question that led us there was, how are teachers going to teach something they themselves have never been taught?
Wow.
And so we took an initiative to start with the teachers' colleges. And you know, there was resistance at first. So we started by forming Marcus Garvey culture clubs. Those grew into UNIA chapters. And eventually we got the universities to begin to formulate Garveyism courses, right? In 2009 also, I was appointed to chair the first Garvey Studies department at a new tertiary institution in Jamaica, the Heidel University College, which was a you know, teacher training institution at that time. And over the next, you know, 10 years, coming up to just before COVID, I was able to develop programs, not only courses to teach teachers, but it actually allowed me to go into the field because Heidel also was a group of schools that had schools from nursery to primary through to secondary. And so we were able to pilot courses at each level. So over the course of that decade, we developed a curriculum for Garveyism at the early childhood level, Garveyism at the primary level, Garveyism at the secondary level, and we sort of, you know, finalized or polished our university courses that would be focused on teaching teachers Garveyism. So it's been a long it's been a long process, Doc. But you know, we're there now. You know, I can add the title professor to my name.
Amen.
And we have been now since last year creating the Global Garvey Symposium series. So what we've been doing in Jamaica now, we're taking throughout the world to share with educators, and we're doing it under the guise of conducting symposiums. And check this part out. We conduct these symposiums in places and on particular dates we had been to and had spoken at. You know, we've done one in Atlanta for 2 years successfully, where Garvey spoke on March 25th, 1917. March 25th also happens to be the UN date for remembrance of the victims of the transatlantic slavery. So that was good. Of course, we had to start at home. So we started with the Western Jamaican Marcus Garvey Symposium, because he spoke in two Baptist churches on March 18th and 19th, 1916. This had to be our first one, not just because it was in Jamaica, but because it also represented one of Garvey's first public lectures as UNIA president before going to America, before the world knew who he was. He was refining his own teaching methods, his own oratory, his own speaking techniques right here in Jamaica. And we've gone on now to establish them in Baltimore, in Brooklyn, in Harlem. Last October, following Garvey's Caribbean tour in October of 1937, we inaugurated symposiums in St. Lucia, Barbados, St. Vincent, Trinidad and Tobago. We're continuing with that this year, but we're also going to be adding Antigua and the Bahamas.
Amen. I was waiting for that name. For the
first time in November, you know, where Garvey visited November 19th and 20th in 1928.
You know, I'm so ecstatic that November, you know, we'll have the event, and definitely we'll talk more about it as we get close to it. but Garveyism on the whole, for a person who's never heard the term Garveyism, because I'm sure we have listeners who may be trying to figure out what exactly is Garveyism, and why should Garveyism be something that we should at least be interested enough in to check out and try to learn about? What is it?
That's an excellent question, Doc, and a question that I always begin the symposiums by answering wherever I go. Mm-hmm. Garveyism, as he described it, which is within the aims and objects of the UNIA organization he founded 111 years ago,
mm-hmm.
he said one of our aims was to develop institutions for the racial and cultural education of our people.
Mm.
So Garveyism is, in essence, that racial and cultural education that Garvey advocated for. Mm-hmm. In 1920, when Garvey's International Convention of the Negro People of the World, and they created a Magna Carta called the Declaration of Rights of the Negro Peoples of the World. Some of those declarations spoke to the fact that we demand that Black children be taught proper Black history.
Mm-hmm.
We demand that Black children not be taught that their race is inferior to others.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of other declarations there. People can look it up.
Yeah.
You know, it's a document that has even informed the formation of the Permanent Forum for People of African Descent that the UN has established 4 years ago now.
Wow.
But when we speak about a racial and cultural education, and even in this 21st century, at the time when we're speaking about issues such as reparations,
mm-hmm.
Not just payment for unpaid labor during slavery and the anguish and so forth, but also repairing certain curriculums, certain narratives that we know has propagated what Garvey described in 1937 as mental slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Garvey said, while others have freed our bodies long ago, none but ourselves can free our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of Garveyism has to do with decolonizing the educational curriculum. Because let's be honest, wow. in the Bahamas and in Jamaica, we've got an curriculum that has come handed down to us from our colonizers. For example, this year, starting in October in the Caribbean symposiums, we are going to be highlighting one of the components of our early childhood curriculum in terms of Garveyism. And there's a book we have out called the Daddy Marcus Nursery Rhymes.
Oh, wow.
Now, the Daddy Marcus Nursery Rhymes is a play on Mother Goose Nursery Rhymes, which you've learned in Bahamas, just as we have learned mm-hmm. in Jamaica, and which our educators are still teaching our children today in the 21st century.
Wow.
Now, some of those nursery rhymes, Jack Be Nimble, Jack Be Quick, right?
Yes.
Mary, Mary, Quite Contrary, Humpty Dumpty Sat on the Wall, London Bridge is Falling Down, Mary Had a Little Lamb. And I know your listeners are nodding their heads now because this is also familiar to them. And some of these nursery rhymes, they will never forget up until the day that they die.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, those nursery rhymes reflect a history and a culture that is not our own or that of our African ancestors.
Yes.
Bahamas, like Jamaica, has a population that is majority of African descent.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So why are we teaching our children these European nursery rhymes that speak, and all of those nursery rhymes have a place. Jack Be Nimble was about Black Jack the Pirate, who was hard to capture.
Mm.
Mary, Mary, Quite Contrary was about Queen Mary of Scots. The Cockleshells was heads coming off of people that she executed.
Wow.
Right?
Mm.
What we have done with the Daddy Marcus nursery rhymes is to transform those nursery rhymes by changing the narratives to reflect our own cultural experience and history. So in the case of Jamaica, we don't say Mary, Mary, Quite Contrary. We talk about Nanny, Nanny, Quite Uncanny.
Yes.
Nanny, Nanny, Nanny was a Maroon leader.
Mm-hmm.
We don't say Jack Be Nimble. We say Kodjo was nimble, Kwao was quick. Right? Those are other Maroon leaders. We don't say little Miss Muffet who sat on her tuffet.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about little Miss Lou who was cooking her stew. Miss Lou is a Jamaican lady who popularized the use of the Jamaican patois or Jamaican language as we call it now. You know, we've taken Baba Black Sheep and turned it into Bobo Ashanti. in reference to the Rastafari here in Jamaica. We've taken the Grand Old Duke of York and turned it into the great Rasmakonit about Ethiopia's victory at the Battle of Adowa.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So simple, something as simple as that goes such a long way in not only decolonizing the curriculum, but we have to understand that those old colonial curriculums also planted subconscious seeds of white supremacy in the minds of our children that took root and grew into full-blown trees. And so we grow up not knowing ourselves, not loving ourselves. And that's why in Jamaica we have issues with things like bleaching.
Yeah.
We talk about browning. We believe that everything on the other side of the pond, you know, everything white is right.
Yeah.
And everything black we must question.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what Garvey was speaking about in terms of a racial and cultural education designed for the upliftment of our people. So Garveyism takes aspects of Pan-Africanism, because this is what it preached. It takes aspects of our own culture, wherever we are, be it Jamaica, Bahamas, and we can even speak about this further. One of the things we're going to do in the upcoming symposiums is to develop one new nursery rhyme in every nation that we go to.
Boom.
By taking their own history.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a strong history in Bahamas there.
Yes, we
do. But if you look at it, a lot of it is folk tales that if your grandmother didn't tell your parents and they forget to tell you, a lot of it is being lost to history because it doesn't make it into the textbook.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we are still carrying these nursery rhyme textbooks from the 1600s in Europe.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So that is what Garveyism is in a nutshell. It is a liberating education. It is an uplifting curriculum. It is fulfilling what Garvey said, that none but ourselves can free our minds.
Yes,
but
indeed.
We have to do that in a methodical and systematic way. And it can't be too abrupt. Like, we've used the same rhythm of those nursery rhymes because we know they're burned into the minds of the people.
Yeah.
So we're not trying to teach you a new jingle. We're just adjusting and putting in there things that you know, you already know, but you were never singing it in your nursery rhymes.
Right.
And hopefully within a generation or two, we will have none of us knowing those old European nursery rhymes and all of us knowing nursery rhymes that reflect our own particular history. And
yes,
culture.
Yes, yes. Powerful, powerful. Definitely, I think I'd be remiss if I want to talk about Dr. Robert Love and his impact in Marcus Garvey's life. I think Bahamians are coming around to knowing who this man is, but I want to hear from your perspective who Dr. Robert Love was with regard to his kind of being a mentor of sorts to Marcus Garvey, a Bahamian. What say you of Dr. Robert Love?
Dr. Robert Love is a hero that our nations both share.
Yeah.
And I only wish they would both give him the credit that he deserves. I recognized here in Jamaica, where he spent the latter part of his life and devoted himself, I think perhaps from in terms of being a politician and advocating for the rights of people. But certainly he was born in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Robert Love became the first black man to graduate from medical school at the University of Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also a clergyman.
Mm-hmm.
He worked in Haiti in the late 19th century, worked in Haiti at the time that the great American abolitionist Frederick Douglass was the U.S. Consul Minister to Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Love, therefore, was connected to this transition between the black abolitionists and what developed at the start of the 20th century that was branded as Pan-Africanism.
Mm.
You know, just this last month, I was in London filming a docufilm called the Quasicentennial, which marked the 125th anniversary of the first Pan-African conference. The African was introduced into the English lexicon And it was done so by a cohort of African descendants, one from Trinidad, Henry Sylvester Williams, and two from the continent, Alice Kinloch from South Africa and Thomas Josiah Thompson, I believe, from Sierra Leone.
Mm-hmm.
They formed an African association that they later transformed into the Pan-African Association in 1900 and then set up branches throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by that time, Dr. Robert Love had completed his contract as chief medical officer in Port-au-Prince in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And he had come to Jamaica, where he took up residence in Kingston. Not only did he become a board member for one of the most prominent high schools, still prominent in Jamaica, the Woolmer School. They now have school for boys and girls, but in his day it was just for boys.
Mm-hmm.
But he also became one of the first black legislators in our parliament representing the parish of St. Andrew. Mm. I believe he may have been the second or third black man to enter parliament. And when I say black, as okay. Garvey would say.
Yeah.
Because, you know, since 1834, we had mulattoes mm-hmm. who went into the parliament, but very few of them, except for our one national hero, George William Gordon, advocated for the rights of black people.
Mm-hmm.
But the first black man to enter the Jamaican parliament did so in 1899. His name was Alexander Dixon. And he was followed, I believe, by Dr. Robert Love, who entered our parliament in 1905.
Wow.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He also had a newspaper here called the Jamaican Advocate. But he became the leader of the Pan-African Association that was the branch that was opened here following that conference in London in 1900.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see how he, you know, really became a sort of forerunner mm-hmm. and a mentor to somebody like Marcus Garvey.
Yeah.
At the time that Robert Love came to Jamaica and entered Parliament, Marcus Garvey was barely 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Garvey was a young man who hadn't even arrived a year or two after Dr. Love got here and entered Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
But Garvey himself spoke about Dr. Robert Love and the influence he had on him, because Robert Love was the man in Garvey's time talking about Pan-Africanism, talking about our African identity as black people, talking about the need for us to be unified as a race, for us to come together around the world. Everything that we see and know Marcus Garvey to have stood upon, to have promoted, what made him the great icon of the 20th century globally, what made him become Jamaica's first national hero. All of those things were embodied in Dr. Joseph Robert Love before Garvey. In fact, it's just a shame that Garvey went on his own travels around the world. And by the time he returned in 1914, Dr. Robert Love died a few months after Garvey came back to Jamaica.
Mm.
In fact, Garvey eulogized him at one of his first UNIA meetings.
Wow.
But Garvey was very much knew who he was. We believe they met. There's no documents saying they shared any podiums at a meeting, but Garvey himself and his influence on him. Unfortunately, Dr. Love, you know, had a stroke two or three years after he entered Parliament.
Wow.
And so he only did one term. He couldn't run for a second term. His health began to decline. And so by the time Garvey left Jamaica in 1910, and by the time Garvey comes back 4 years later, Dr. Love's condition had worsened, and he passed away on November 20th, 1914.
Wow.
And that's the reason why in our inaugural Garvey Symposium in the Bahamas, in Nassau, we're going to be having it on November 20th to 22nd, and we are branding it the Garvey Love Festival.
Wow.
It's a homage to both Marcus Garvey and his mentor, a son of Nassau, a son of the Bahamas, Dr. Joseph Robert Love, who, I mean, was just phenomenal in his own right. You know, he broke down so many barriers. He was a pioneering so many things. I mean, imagine becoming the first black man to graduate from a top university, American medical school and university. And then you choose to take that degree and go to Haiti.
Right.
The Mecca. Yes. The chief medical officer in the capital city there. And you're rubbing shoulders with Frederick Douglass. You're in touch with Henry Sylvester Williams. And you're getting into Africanism. You bring this to Jamaica. And not even being somebody who born in Jamaica, you become one of the first black men to enter parliament in this country.
Wow.
I mean, we should have a statue to this man here. I understand that there is a bronze bust of him at the College of the Bahamas. And we're looking to collaborate with them coming up in November. You know, I hope you don't mind me mentioning a few people who we are also thankful that they have pledged some support for this upcoming symposium.
Mm-hmm.
Minister Glenys Hannah-Martin from the Ministry of Education.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Dr. Nyambi Hall-Dean, who is the head of the Reparations Committee there in the Bahamas, who has also pledged our support and will be a part of the symposium.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking to connect also with Christopher Davis, who I understand, as a noted historian, he is developing an exhibition about love. So, I mean, the synergy is there.
Yeah.
We're looking to collaborate with him. You know, Melissa Darville, who is CEO of the Global Afro-Caribbean Network. Shandels Williams, who's providing legal assistance and general support. Of course, my sister Jennifer, who you know, and who you know well too.
Yes. She's a member of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah. Yes.
Who none of this would be happening without her. I mean, we've been talking for over a year and planning this, and I really want to say kudos and give my gratitude to her because she doesn't give up.
That's right.
And she keeps my hopes up and my energy up. You know, we're hoping to confirm the support of others like Branville McCartney and Andrew Wilson. And those are the people who are responsible for the bust of Robert Love at the university there. I think that was done maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people in the Bahamas who know about this man and who are trying to give him recognition.
Yeah.
So we hope to, you know, that this annual symposium will also support that and each year attention of the wider Bahamian public. I also have to mention Dr. Jacinta Higgs.
Yes.
And her African centric school.
Yes.
We're going to be using that hopefully. Mm-hmm. The New St. Paul's Baptist Church, which is also connected to the Higgs family.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go too much in that because we're really going to tell that story when we get there.
Yeah.
But that church was founded by a great Reverend Higgs, who was a UNIA president, even though he was a Bahamian. He was a UNIA president for the Coconut Grove Division in Miami, Florida. And he was one of the presidents who was targeted by the Ku Klux Klan.
Wow.
And which prompted Garvey to intervene. And many people don't know the story of why Marcus Garvey met with the Ku Klux Klan. Sorry about that. In 1922, was the reason why the black American bourgeoisie started this Garvey Must Go campaign, because how could he meet with the Klan? But the reason he met with the Klan is because there were constant clashes between the UNIA and the Klan in the South.
Mm-hmm.
You know, armed clashes.
Wow.
And at one point, you know, UNIA presidents were target, and one of the two who were target was Reverend Higgs, a Bahamian who led the division in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he was not harmed by the Klan because that's how powerful Garvey's organization was. We had a paramilitary group that we demanded the release of the two presidents who were kidnapped, or we threatened that we were going to spill more blood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how serious it got in the South in the 20s. And so they eventually released him. Garvey negotiated, and it was agreed that he would return to the Bahamas. So he returned to the Bahamas and founded that St. Paul's Church. And so they're also going to be a part of the symposium. These are annual symposiums that we hope will also, over time, develop, you know, heritage markers, for example, that will tell the story of people like Marcus Garvey and Dr. Robert Love and all of these Pan-Africans, many of whom have come out of the Bahamas.
Yes, indeed.
Recognized.
Well, I know we got to run to the news, and then we'll open up the phone lines for those who may want to call in after the news break. But our guest today, Brother Stephen Golden, who is the president of the UNIA in Jamaica, and we're very excited to have him. We'll be back here on Guardian Radio today after this break. Keep it locked.
Stand aside and look. Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
When it comes to burgers and flavor, you already know he's the king. And he's the king of crunch, the master of flavor. And he's gonna set your taste buds on fire. I'm talking about the new King Crunch sandwiches at Burger King Nassau. No cap on this one. Crispy fried onions, pepper jack cheese, and a bold chipotle sauce. Can't forget about the fixings that cover that crispy chicken patty. And if you love your beef patties, two flame grilled beef patties on BK's new King Crunch sandwiches. They're bigger, they're better, and bolder than the other guys. But hurry, they're only at Burger King Nassau for a limited time. So try one today.
Great news! Ron's Electric, right next to Island Lock, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery charges, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
Great Commission's Ministries is God's storehouse. They have been caring for the poor, homeless, and hurting since 1987. You are invited to support their Stop and Drop program by dropping off some food items in their barrels and some cash in their bottles. You can donate an offering each month or pay your tithes online to Great Commission through the Givelify or SunCash apps. Help them to shelter the homeless, feed the hungry, and spread the gospel of Christ. Volunteer your service and support the Live to Give program. Call Great Commission Ministries, God Stores, at 325-5801 for further information, or stop by the office on Wolf Road. Be blessed.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
This is how we do it.
Get ready to kick off the new school year with a bang. It's the Guardian Media Group and Rotary Club of South Ocean's Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 29th in the parking lot of the Nassau Guardian in Oaksville, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Join us for a day of fun, games, and back-to-school excitement. We've got something for everyone, from bouncing castles and face painting to health screaming and giveaways. Meet some of your favorite local businesses and get ready for the new school year with all the essentials. We'll have school supply vendors and local eateries with delicious treats. Don't miss out on the fun. The Guardian Media Group and Rotary Club of South Ocean's Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 29th at the Nassau Guardians parking lot, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's the perfect way to celebrate the end of summer and get excited for a great school year. See you here.
Brought to you by
Island Wholesale, Splash of Sunshine, Purity Bakery, Janae's Uniform Center, Harry's, Celestial Treats, Sun Oil, Lowe's, A&N's Kitchen, Zelrona Mackey, Lumara Snack, Precious Curry, Robert Russell.
And brought to you by the Delbinas Agency Limited.
Redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Fear for atomic energy.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio. Today, our guest, special guest, Stephen Golden, president of the UNIA in Jamaica. My name is Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. We're talking Garveyism and what it means for us as a people. We really just took the first part of the show to kind of lay down a brief history of Garveyism. There's a wonderful event coming up in November, and we pray that, you know, people really take it serious and make the most of it. So on the line today, live, we have Brother Stephen Golden. Brother Stephen, how are you? How are you doing, man?
I'm good, Doc.
You're hanging in.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to be grounding with my brothers and sisters in the Bahamas.
Yeah, man. You know, one of the things as I listened to you talk about how you took the time to teach the teachers so that they could then in turn, you know, teach the students. What type of impact has introducing Garveyism into the curriculum had on the behavior of students? Is there anything in the system that allows for you to measure that element of how Garvey?
That's a very good question, because we have always posited that Garveyism was the absolute tool of social engineering that Jamaica needed in terms of the social problems our citizens have been complaining about. Chief amongst them is crime.
Yeah.
But no, we have not begun, I think, to measure those results.
Okay.
We're still in the early stages of the teachings filtering out from the teachers, from training the teachers and into the curriculum. I don't want to give the impression that we've solved everything.
Right.
10 years, 15 years is enough to produce, a cohort of teachers who are now just finding their way into the educational system.
Mm-hmm.
The sad part is we don't retain a lot of teachers. Many of them who may get a degree at a teacher training institution don't necessarily enter the field. Then we lose a lot of them to the brain drain and the migration.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still some little problems we're trying to tweak, but it is out there. I've had numerous invitations from teachers I have taught to come to their schools. And in those situations, I find them kind of, I was it a decade plus ago, being sort of the one salmon swimming up the stream, you
right,
know?
Right.
So I try to encourage them, you know, but this period will pass as we get more teachers to enter the field, as we solidify more courses. What we really want now is to have every teacher training institution to have a Garvey Studies department, right? So far, we've only had one, and if we get two, we're lucky, courses at the teacher training colleges. But we need each one to develop a Garvey Studies department so we can begin to refine how we look at how Garveyism can be taught in geography, how Garveyism can be taught in music, how Garveyism can be taught in mathematics. People have to understand Garveyism is not a course in itself that is about the biography of Garvey. That's still history.
Right.
Right? Garveyism is, as I said earlier, how do we weave that cultural racial element into the various subject matters that we're teaching. For example, if we're teaching maths, we're going to stop teaching them about Pythagoras and start teaching them about Imhotep.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
if we are teaching, as I said before, English or literature at the early childhood level, we're going to push and bring in the Daddy Marcus. So that transformation is still taking place at a snail's pace, not enough for us to measure. But certainly from our years teaching in the general penitentiary, we can measure those differences because, you know, we are in touch with people who have, you know, been involved in criminal acts in the past, who have done their time, who have, you know, been on a road of rehabilitation, who come out, who we pass sometimes in the street and they say, hey, prof, remember me? You taught me. You know,
yes.
And sometimes I'm like, yeah, which school?
Right.
And they will whisper,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Prison.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So definitely we know it is an effective tool of social engineering, but I think it will still take another decade or so before we can be able to come back to the public with some tangible statistics in terms of measurements, because I hope within that decade we would at least have achieved at least one course of GARV in the primary schools,
mm-hmm.
at least.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's still my own teachers who are a product of my own pilot products, my own pilot are in their various schools spread out across the island pushing their own pilots now. So we're still in the pilot stage. We have not gone mainstream, but we're not going to stop agitating. You know, every year I'm knocking at the Teachers Association. I'm knocking at the Ministry of Education. I'm saying, come and look what we are doing. Look at what we can do. Help us. But we're not quite there yet, but we don't give up that. We don't ever give up.
That's right. The spirit of Garvey. I want to talk about, I know you only got a couple minutes left, Amy Jacques Garvey, the wife, I think that was the second wife, correct?
The second wife. Yeah, mm-hmm. She was actually the bridesmaid at the first wife's wedding.
Okay. I read that. Yes.
That is the stuff for a soap opera.
Yeah, I know.
I got to say also, you know, that in November we will be screening in Nassau, the first narrative film made about Marcus Garvey. Film with actors. And we hope to bring the writer of the film, who is also the main actor who plays Marcus Garvey, with us. And that film really features a superb job done by him. And the actress, his name is Samuel Lee Fudge, and the actress Britt Scales, who plays Amy Jacques Garvey. I think she did a wonderful job. That film is a 40-minute short film, and it really focuses on his trial.
Okay.
But we are making a series of them.
Okay.
We're at work on the script for the second one now, which is going to go in a little bit in depth in what I mentioned to you before, Garvey's meeting with the Klan, and what was really behind that. And that will also feature insights into Garvey's relationship with another reverend, not Higgs this time, even though the Higgs character will be featured in there, but another reverend by the name of Earl Little.
Okay.
Who, if your listeners don't know, had about 6 children.
Yes.
and one of them was a young man by the name of Malcolm.
Wow.
Later dropped his surname of Little and replaced it with an X.
Yes. Wow.
So many people don't know that Malcolm is the product of a Garvey family, whose his father was a UNIA president, much like Reverend Higgs from the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother was a UNIA officer from the Montreal Division. And she herself is a Caribbean lady from the Spice Island of Grenada. But later on, we hope to do an episode, and I'm calling them episodes now because it's a series of them.
Yeah.
That will also focus on the two Amys.
Okay.
And their relationship, being friends and companions and ending up, you know, being married to the same man.
But listen, brother Stephen, I know you got to go soon. I want to just see if we could get a squeeze, a call in before you go. I see the phone lines are lit up. So you have a hard out at 1:30, correct? You have somewhere else to be, yes?
Well, I can maybe give you 15 minutes.
All right. So let me try to get some calls in and allow them to throw some questions at you. 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259, of course, in the family of islands. 242-300-57, powered by BTC. 422-4796, of course, standard text rates do apply. Let's run to the first caller, and then we'll get some text in as well. Caller, you're on Guardian Radio today.
Good morning, Uncle Sarah.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm okay. Good morning to you again.
Great. You sound kind of far. I don't know if you can get your mouth
closed. Can you hear me, Uncle?
That's better, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and do you realize who you are?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me know.
Huh?
Let me know. And I'll tell you why to see you or see you.
I'm a living soul, a child of the Most High, doing the work of the Most High on earth.
And in my sight and my vision this morning, my first word with you, but I didn't see it till this morning, right?
Mm.
Is you're the most venerable preacher in this town.
Mm. Wow.
You only play any difference about you stand by what you see.
Mm.
And there's no rumors about your church.
No.
Okay. Yeah, who brought this gentleman, Jennifer and Anna and the other lady? What's her name?
Well, Brother Stephen has been on the show with me from last year, but I have a church member. That connected us, and
okay.
So we.
You mentioned earlier Miss Planetana Martin and one other lady who is like a pro-African diaspora.
So he mentioned several names of people who are assisting with an event.
Some doctor lady.
Oh, Dr. Nyambi. Dr. Nyambi.
Yeah, Nyambi. Name is Gamal Bassett.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, like me listening to this show, I listen, but the bottom line is right now they're basically going through crisis in this country with persons of African descent, but not from Africa, right? And it's ironic that this morning you're talking about Marcus Garvey, Africa, Haiti, the Bahamas. It's ironic because the mere fact that we are going to be having this general election pretty soon, and right now there's confusion about who is the Bahamian. And I think it's one of the things that we've been talking about Bahamian, like really. Bahamian, what is a Bahamian, a Bahamian, and a Bahamian?
Mm-hmm.
And to strengthen Bahamian after 52 years, we still lost in the wilderness. We don't know who we are.
Yeah.
As a people.
Let me let Brother Stephen respond to that. Let me let Brother Stephen respond to that. This idea of us lost. Go ahead, Brother Stephen.
What's the question? Who is a Bahamian?
Not so much. So he's at a point where he seems frustrated that we're in a crisis, and I guess because he's not getting to the questions, I'm pulling it out of him. The tone of the comment, Fox Garvey, we're talking about different aspects that may not relate to the crisis, right? How does Garveyism relate to the crisis that we see in Bahamas, that we see in Jamaica, that we see all through the Caribbean, all through the continent of Africa? How is this conversation pertinent to that?
What is the crisis? Is it an identity crisis of who is an African?
That's a part of it.
What is the crisis?
That's a big part of it. But right now, we have crime, like I'm sure you have in Jamaica. We have a general election that's coming up soon. And, unions are threatening to strike. There are different things going on. I know that
we are also up on a general election in about 2 weeks, too.
Mm-hmm. 2 weeks.
And it's
wow.
So funny because one of the leaders of the political parties that is contending is the son of two British parents.
Hmm.
He's a Caucasian.
Wow.
Though he's born in Jamaica himself.
Mm-hmm.
Do I consider that a crisis? I would think only if he won.
Right.
But look, Garveyism is so fulsome and wholesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The sad part is many of us were facing as Africans or even the continent of Africa itself was facing.
Mm-hmm.
In Garvey's day, still a situation we're facing now.
Right.
Garvey used to speak about the rape of the resources of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
He warned us that others were coming for our continent. And if we didn't organize to protect ourselves and to secure our own wealth, mm-hmm. that we were going to be in a crisis. So mm-hmm. if he's asking how is Garvey relevant to that, I would say go and read Garvey again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Rastafarians in Jamaica refer to Garvey as a prophet,
mm-hmm.
Because the things that he said in his time have turned out to be prophetic because of what we're facing today. But I don't think that Garvey did that through any divine
mm-hmm.
Power working through him. I think Garvey had a very calculating mind. He was well-read. He could see the trend. And he just became a voice in the wilderness preaching to us about the things we needed. Listen, remember Garvey before World War II
nice.
Predicted that the next World War would be a war of the races, you know. Before
wow.
we even knew of Hitler and fascism and an Aryan plan
wow.
And a final solution. And a Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
Garvey said, listen, there is going to be a war. And this war is going to be the time that races are going to draw lines. And we as Africa fend for ourselves. And that would be the time for us to strike for Africa. And he warned us we should not make the mistake of going and fighting other people's war for them like we did in World War I.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't listen.
Wow.
And we ended up in the same predicament. And it's so sad because Garvey died during the Blitz on London in 1940.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he died having thought that the last free empire in Africa, which was Ethiopia, had been taken. He didn't live to see the Ethiopian emperor reclaim his nation the following year by skillfully maneuvering and wading between the European powers.
Mm-hmm.
But Garvey died brokenhearted because he had set us on a path. He had created a paramilitary organization that should have evolved into an army. He had created a steamship company that should have evolved into a navy. He had created a medical corps, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything we needed. He was preparing us in terms of reclaiming Africa and reclaiming the home of our ancestors. And he said that while they were distracted in their own war, we should have been focused on building our own empire. But we didn't listen.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon in Jamaica, too, we have these cenotaphs and these monuments
mm-hmm.
to the soldiers, who the fallen soldiers in World War II. But what did our countries get out of that war?
Wow.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It still took us several decades after that to even get independence.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So Garvey is very relevant in terms of the crisis we're facing right now. In the Sahel states, Ibrahim Traore, this is a new Africans who have the benefit of learning from Garvey. And mm-hmm. they are learning from him very well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they're not falling for the old European tricks. I am very hopeful in terms of this generation, and I am placing that squarely at the foot of Garvey for his sacrifices, for what he went through. Remember, Garvey himself said it, you know, he said, when I am gone in life, I shall be the same. In death, I shall be a terror to the foes of Negro liberty.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. Yes.
He said, I will write the history that will inspire the millions who are coming after me. He told the FBI who codenamed him the Black Tiger, that he said, you can cage the tiger, but what you're going to do with the cubs that are coming?
That's right.
You know?
I really want to thank you, my brother. I know we are flat out of time. I appreciate you making the time to be here today. And I look forward to meeting you in November when you come here. I just want to say to those who are listening, if you've never heard of Stephen Golden, you're going to be hearing his name a lot more around here. And I just want to say thank you, my brother. Any final words before you leave us today?
No, I just want to thank you for the invitation. I want to encourage you to keep up the good work you're doing, both on and off the air.
Yes.
And I want to encourage your listeners to continue to support you. And again, I know you'll keep them informed about our coming in November.
Yes.
And hopefully they will also support the endeavor, the initiative. We envisioned it as an annual event. So that can only be sustained if it gets the support that it's supposed to get each year.
Yeah.
So for this first one, remember, we're going to be showing the first movie ever made about Marcus Garvey. We're going to be speaking about in depth about some of the things that we went over today, the connection between Dr. Love and Marcus Garvey. And we're even going to be talking about some unknown Bahamians who helped Marcus Garvey to become
powerful,
the person that he is, and who helped to promote and make his organization the largest organization of African descendants ever in history. So we give thanks, my brother. One God, one name, one destiny. One love to your listeners.
One love, my brother. That's the voice of our good brother, Stephen Golden, all the way out of Jamaica, president of the UNIA. We're going to run to a break. We can do that. Let's run to a break, then we'll take some of the texts and calls and finish up the show for today. But thank you for tuning in to Guardian Radio today. We'll be back right after this break.
These songs of freedom, 'cause all I ever have, redemption songs. Redemption songs.
Shop early to get your uniforms and catch Janae's Uniform Center's buy four, get one free sale. Pre-monogrammed and regular school shirts, dry fit and cotton polos, jumpers, skirts, boys' long and short pants, PE shorts, underclothes, tights, socks, neckties, belts, sleeping mats, hair accessories, and character work desk. Get 50% off backpacks, lunch bags, and raincoats. Buy four school shirts, get one free. Buy two skirts, jumpers, or pants, get the third 50% off. Need embroidery and monogramming done? Visit Janae's Uniform Center early. Beat the back to school rush. Janae's Chesapeake Road back to school special. Restrictions apply. Tell them.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
Now, 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckin Battery? This Miss Bueller from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326 Epic. We ship also to the family island.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio today. I am your host, Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Kahunanku Sarah. We've had a great show today. Our guest, Stephen Golding, the president of the UNIA, he had to leave us, so we have a few more minutes left in the show. I want to use that time to allow you to continue to call in 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, in the family of islands, 242-300-5. Plus, you can text us at 422-4796. I see we have a caller here. Let's run straight to the caller. Caller, you're live on Guardian Radio today.
Yes, good day, brother.
Hey, my brother. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, man. Sorry, miss.
bowling just now. I wanted to ask him a question, but you know, something on Google. You remember Mr. Ali Reed, who used to do
Oh yeah, man. Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Mr. Reed, I told me one time ago that so like you won't find a black man who really stood up for his people who died happy.
Wow. That's
you know, and I thought about it, and I say, you know, something that's a reality so far, you know. But what I want to ask Anku is, I want to ask him, seeing that he was talking about one God, one aim, one destiny, which is Marcus Garvey's slogan, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask him how much of the one God is involved in his education. Is there a one God in it? Like, how do we get to that one God? Because if we don't get to that one God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just
spinning
go into
wheels.
The motion.
Spinning wheels.
If you understand my point, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to find out how or who is the one God, because I mean, because once you find out the God, the aim and the destiny come with the God, you know, the kind of
yeah,
thing.
But yeah.
We got to stand on that common ground. I want to know who is that common ground. And to the caller who called earlier, when he was talking about the Bahamian thing, I wasn't sure exactly what he was saying, the Iran, because I wasn't sure if he was complaining or not, right?
Yeah.
But let me say this to him. A cow born in a pig pen is still a cow. So an African born anywhere in the world, it's still an African.
That's right.
You know, but like I say, whenever you talk to Golden again, are you getting them things? I'm gonna ask him how much of the curriculum involves the one God, because we got to stand as one man, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm going to send this recording to him, and see, he's coming in November, so I'm using this time to gather the types of questions I know people are going to want fielded at this event, because the event
is... All right, thank you, my brother.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Good show, brother, and keep up the good work, man. Have a good day.
Respect, my brother. Yeah, so I'm sure there are a lot of questions about Marcus Garvey that I know we won't get answered in today's show. There's a text here. I wish I had asked this while he was on, but like I said, he had to go. He's a busy man. But I'll read this into the record. He'll hear it, and this will be answered in November or maybe even before. It says, Uncle, while Marcus Garvey inspired pride and unity, his legacy is flawed. He was convicted of mail fraud, praised the KKK's views on segregation, and attacked fellow black leaders like W.E.B. Du Bois. His authoritarian style, tongue twister today, and failed project showed he's not a figure to uphold uncritically. I've heard this perspective before, right? I'm not going to unpack this right now. Right, I'm not going to unpack this right now. I'm going to just leave this here for right now so that we can address it in November or whenever we have some shows leading up to the event. I will say this, though. Any black man who has stood up for his people all the way to the black Messiah, Yahshua Kress, who people call Jesus Christ, would have been falsely convicted, would have had his name dragged through the mud. And everything that happened to Marcus Garvey happened to the man who many worship in this town called Jesus Christ. All right, let's run back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. Caller, you're live.
Yeah, what's going on, Uncle?
Yes, brother.
Yeah, I didn't get to talk to Mr. Golding, but I just had a few questions for him also. But
ask the questions.
I wanted you to play the song by Michael Rose. They didn't have a public holiday for Marcus Garvey because... It's a shame that they didn't. And so to the last texter, I have to deconstruct that. I have to deconstruct that because
mm-hmm.
obviously they are very naive in their reading and thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And even the same story about his Imperial Majesty Rastafari McConan.
Mm-hmm.
He's paying attention to the writings of the winners.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's obviously very, very naive to believe that those stories about Marcus Garvey is actually true. And the fact that mail fraud, you know, the United Negro Improvement Association, right,
mm-hmm.
depended on funds, and so he was using the mail. And so we know that he was being monitored by the FBI and all type of other people, and they actually hired people to infiltrate his organization to discredit him and also sabotage the Black Star Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Mm-hmm. This is in the book.
Yes.
This is in Malcolm X's book. It also said that Marcus Garvey influenced Paul Poard, Gandhi, and some other African leaders while he stayed in London.
Mm-hmm.
He said he's living in the same building. I remember reading these things. And so obviously, when I look back in retrospect, even though I know him as Malcolm Little, but his own mom was obviously killed because of his mm-hmm. affiliation with United Negro Improvement mm-hmm. Association. So post-World War I, when Marcus started to recruit a lot of black men who were in the army in World War I,
mm-hmm.
they were drawn to Marcus Garvey.
Mm-hmm.
And so because they were wearing the uniforms, etc., the white people became threatened by Marcus Garvey present. So we see wherever he went, he advocated for black people and they fought him down. Mm-hmm. Now, the Negro World, his newspaper was banned here also, not just him from coming. They banned the newspaper. And I remember when I read some stories on Samala Butler, it was mentioned that Clement T. Maynard and a lot of other learned people who came back from the States and they were part of the UNIA, but they saw the civil rights movement going on, and they became, that's because them became likewise here. Mm-hmm. But they hide a lot of history from us for a reason. So Marcus talked about Africa's redemption coming in the wind. He knows why. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? But all of these stories about Marcus Garvey, if people believe them at foot value, what is one of the fundamentals in the art of war, spread propaganda.
Yes.
That's one of the fun. But we as black people are very, very naive. We're quick to believe all of this BS about Marcus. We don't even know him. But you know, days after my own, and I have the poster that actually speaks to these things about us, shows our naivety. And the story about, we go look at it. William E. Du Bois was pitted against Marcus Garvey because he was one of the first educated black men to graduate from college. And he was calling Marcus Garvey derogatory names like buffoon, imbecile, all type of names. He's the one that pitted. The white, they always pit a black man against another black man. Mm-hmm. But we are very, very naive. Man. Give thanks. Just let me know when the United Negro Improvement Association coming into existence. Let us pray.
Yes.
UNIA, self-reliance is the way for black people today. That's what the song says. Give thanks.
Yes, from November. And we'll definitely keep you abreast as to how you... W.E.B. Du Bois, he actually apologized. You understand? So that's why I say I wasn't going to... The texter texted, we have another text here. It says, the system we inherit is still with us in our minds and hearts. Many of our leaders in all sectors are now steeped and stuck in the old British system. They take too long to teach Bahamian history and put Bahamian books, magazines, and other research info in our school system. We must urgently inform our children of the great work and contributions Bahamians have King. And I must say that the new history book that should be released soon is definitely a step in the right direction. And so I look forward to that book getting back or getting into the hands of our children. All right, so this text, 52, damn black, they mixed race, right? But anyway, I just wanted to have a show today that allowed for us to, just first of all, before you make a judgment on who Marcus Garvey is, do some reading, right? The opinions and the philosophy of Marcus Garvey, a book that was put together by his wife, Amy Jocks Garvey. A lot of his speeches and things that she could find to put together. She put that book together. It's a blueprint for liberation is what I say. But we don't take the time in many instances to actually read, right? We or especially read about someone like a Marcus Garvey or a Dr. Robert Love and men who were a part of this movement. When we talk about the Christ consciousness or the Christ consciousness, that's really what we're talking about, right? Our people have been so fixated on European salvation that we don't think that the salvation that has been knocking on our doorstep now for over 100 years is actually our salvation, all right? We need to learn about names like Edward Wilmot Blyden, right? These people fought for our rights, fought for who and what we are today as far as us being able to accomplish the freedoms that we've accomplished today. Paul Cuffey, I'm not going to get into all of them today. The great Booker T. Washington. I went to Tuskegee University. Booker T. Washington, he helped to start that institution. My grandfather went there. I had other family members that went there. Right? So Marcus Garvey is a part of a great host of angels that have come amongst us. Right? Is another one. School all the way in Daytona. So Bahamians are at these schools. We're sending our children to these schools like Sheikh Daoud Faisal. And the names go on and on, right? So Marcus Garvey is looked up to, you know, in a way that allows for us to have these conversations. But many more names, You understand? And I want us to be aware of it. Let's run back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. Call you live on Guardian Radio today.
Good day, Uncle.
Good day. How you doing?
Yeah, you say I'm UNT, right?
Yes, I did.
I'm what are you, the FTSE? I'm Aeneas.
That's my papa. That's my daddy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, I'm the LS Pedal. 2 sci-fi, never say die.
All right. Right? Yes, sir. So am I. Deuce Pies I 2006. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate this conversation. I caught it to the end. Mr. Golden went off.
Yeah.
I wasn't listening to it earlier after this review.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
But what the Haymans have to understand, us Africans, yeah, someone just said earlier that we mixed because I'm the great grandson of Loyalist Charles Farquharson. But we cannot discard our African and slave line.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
As we know, Bob Marley sang of it, that we were the Buffalo Soldiers.
Yes.
I want the Haymans to go because many of them don't know how they, like you said, they pitted W.E.B. Du Bois against Mark Garvey, and you're so right. They apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that I want them to know, go and Google the Willie Lynch letter.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Where Willie Lynch taught the plantation owners how to pit black people against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Sharp nose against broad nose, light skin against black people. You understand? I don't want to get because somebody may want to call in.
Yeah.
But I want you to get my contact and keep in touch because that meeting that's supposed to be when Mr. Golden come in November, I want to be kept in line with all of that also, okay?
Yeah, so what to do is take my number, 426-1148. 426.
Okay, 426-1148. Okay, 1148. Cool.
Yeah, man, reach out to me.
Yeah, to all of the Haman, just remember, we follow our African roots, you know, and, you know, people like Boeing's and you know, those of us who did some following of our African bloodline because they took, like the speakers said, and other speakers that comes onto your show, they take our women and indoctrinated us because most of those plantation owners, when they gave you something that wasn't for your benefit, we're dragging sin and song. You have to take the good things and let the bad things go.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right? It's like his song says, never give up.
Thank you so much. Strong contribution. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, sir. Let's turn to the next caller here on Guardian Radio today. Caller, you're live.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm great, man. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, man. You're welcome. I was in and out of your conversation with, what's the gentleman's name?
Stephen Golding. He's the president of the UNIA in Jamaica. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. What I, something that is so interesting regards so this whole conversation surrounding history and where we were is how over centuries we went from being kings and queens, right? To we don't have our own lives, right?
Yeah, real talk.
As a people of color, right?
Yeah.
And what it took in order to develop and sustain this level of thinking that is controlling us even to this day. And what is even more interesting and perplexing is what it would take realistically to move beyond this dark level of thinking that we place upon ourselves, right? And to get us back to the point where we appreciate that we are kings and queens. All of the elements that would have to be in play in order to make that happen, not just in the Caribbean, but everywhere on the planet, and how the economics, the socialism, and the education, and the access, and the opportunities, et cetera, would have to be afoot and in play to make that happen, versus catapulting that against, or juxtaposing that against, you can hear me, Uncle?
I can hear you, go ahead, yeah. You can
juxtaposing that against who's controlling capital markets and who's controlling the economies. And and so that's a long, deep, dark battle.
Yeah.
It's a long, deep, dark battle. And one of the advantages that a country like the Bahamas kind of battle is that we are a majority rural people.
Yeah.
And we are, for the most part, a right. And we are led by people of color in this country.
Yeah.
And so when we look at those kinds of conversations, you know, Damian Gomez would be one of interest because I always appreciate his perspective relating to what happened here in the Bahamas and what it would take to level that playing field.
Mm.
Although no government, including the government that he served in when he was a cabinet minister, would have been prepared to take those monster steps necessary to try and right-size history beginning in the Bahamas. Anyway, thank you for the opportunity.
I'll continue
to listen. That's a serious conversation.
Yeah, yeah. And so what we're doing is, you know, as my good brother over there at Zadness would say, but Glenn P. Rule, he would say, let's eat this elephant one bite at a time, you know. you know, so I appreciate the call, my brother.
Yeah, man. No, for sure.
Yes, so I have some more text here. Uncle, while you are blessed to be on here, give us some series of episodes to Mr. That is the plan. We're going to, you know, sprinkle these types of conversations, you know, through the month. You know, we want to make sure that we give people what they want to talk about. Everybody has different things they want to share and talk about. So I try to keep it as diverse as possible. But definitely, you know, as long as I'm on air, I'm gonna find a time to bring these type of conversations to the air because I think we definitely need it. 52 mentioned, not 52, a previous caller, the Willie Lynch letter. And we have a texter here, and this is something we'll do a show on, right? Because I think it's an important conversation. And the Willie Lynch letter is not a genuine historical document. It has become a part of modern discourse reflecting contemporary concerns about the legacy of slavery and systemic racism. That conversation, I've been a part of that conversation, and I think what's important to note about the Willie Lynch letter, I still think people should read it, should recognize the methodologies that particular letter speaks about, and just do your own observations to see if whether or not the methodologies that were suggested in the Willie Lynch letter are actually real, right? The historicity of it, you know, definitely is debatable. But the reality of what is being said in the letter, I don't think is too debatable. All right. But thank you so much for the texts and the phone calls. My name is Third, also known as Kahun Ankusa Ra. This has been Guardian Radio Today. Our special guest today was our good brother, Stephen Golding, the president of the nation in Jamaica. We're going to have him back on, and we have a great event coming up in November. So stay tuned for that. And stay tuned for more of the fresh news, smart talk all day here on Guardian 96.9 FM. As we say, namastu, bow to the divinity in each and every one of you. Have a great day.
Redemption songs. Redemption songs. Emancipation.